Liberty Home Mortgage Corporation for all your home mortgage needs. Reach out to them at libertyhomemortgage.org or call them at 440-665-7627. That's Liberty Home Mortgage.
It's Coach Cimarroni for Blood Time, and I have an amazing, energized guest here, and I'm looking at its two beautiful cauliflower ears right across the area from me here. Richard Jensen, be a champion in life. How are you, man?
Oh, man, I'm awesome. I couldn't be more happy to be here in Ohio, you know, and I'm really thankful that, you know, Guy Seiko from Defense Soap connected us.
We love the Seikos. We love Guy, and we love Defense Soap. What an amazing company, but more importantly, the support of our great sport has been unbelievable.
Yeah, they've, I couldn't ask for a better sponsor for what I do, you know.
He is something, isn't
yeah.
he? Yeah, and what a beautiful facility out in Vermilion, Ohio, out of the beautiful on-the-lake Vermilion. Have
Absolutely.
You been there?
No, I haven't yet.
You got
to
go.
But we're getting ready to go.
You got
to
go.
I'm
you
here to
go.
Connect with them. I'm here to for a couple podcasts and really just connect with a new audience.
Absolutely.
Thank Absolutely. You for bringing me in.
Well, I read your book because of Guy, okay, and he says, you got to read this story, you know, and I said, of course. And I love our sport because, like we just talked on off air, it's the honest sport.
Absolutely.
Nowhere to hide. And it's meritocracy.
Yeah. I mean, and you know what? I feel like I should be interviewing you. You okay. dedicated your whole life to the sport, you know, coaching for three or four decades.
Yes.
And,
yes.
And really, really involved and just dedicated, you know. And you guys like you are the reason I'm here right now.
Well,
coaches like you.
I appreciate that, Richard. And we're going to get into that. But, you know, your story is amazing. And really, ultimately, what you decided to do is what I think all great people decide to do. And that is to completely be naked, to be honest, and to just flay yourself to the world and see what happens.
You know? Appreciate that.
You know, and we talked about not my hero, but a guy that mentored me from afar. I looked to him, Howard Stern. Whether you hate him, like him, you know, indifferent, that cat was completely honest, and he was the first to do it. And it set the stage, and I said, you know, when I coach, I'm honest, okay? When I go in there, I tell these guys, you're all my sons. I'm going to treat you that way, but understand I'm going to hold you to that standard. So your family, this is, I think, what you're creating, is a national family, a national movement of honesty based in our sport, but more importantly, based in the idea that the ultimate cheat, the ultimate lie, the ultimate shield are those controlled substances.
Absolutely.
You know
it's like, it takes a lot of courage to be vulnerable.
Correct.
To be honest.
Yes.
And, you know, at years ago, obviously, when I started this journey, this movement mm-hmm. of Be a Champion in Life, you know,
yep.
I got sober and I really made a massive commitment at that time. Like,
sure.
I'm going to get genuine, honest, and lay it out there. And I'm going to find people that appreciate that, and I'm going to find kids.
Well, you found Richard first.
Message.
Yeah, you found Richard first.
And we'll talk about that.
Exactly
that was
right.
a process.
Exactly right.
You know,
exactly.
Finding
right.
myself was the hardest,
right.
hardest work ahead. But once I did and got my stride, oh boy.
Yeah.
Oh
boy. Well, you an incredible work ethic, though. Even through all the championing of the controlled substance in your body, right? Through like the most hardest jobs in the world on what you're a fisherman, right? Or you're,
yeah.
I mean, that's a crazy tough job. And
yeah.
you went into auto mechanics or building cars and, you know, doing things that were incredible all through hitting rock bottom. Not once, not twice, but a couple of times, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
You know, it was years of struggle.
Yeah.
Know, years of struggle. But, you know, the thing about it is over those 20 years of addiction.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
7 years locked up in prison.
Yes.
And finally, you know, it snowballed into living in a homeless shelter. Like,
yes.
life
yes.
was a struggle for
yes.
a long time.
Yeah.
And it distanced me away from my family.
Yeah.
It distanced me away from the things that I loved.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It put a wedge between my dreams and my goals and my aspirations.
Sure.
I lost myself for
yeah.
so long.
Right.
And the struggle was so real.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
In the back of my head, for years, I thought about wrestling.
Yeah.
The impact it had on me as a kid was so,
sure.
so big. It meant so much during that period of time that that I thought about it over the years, even in the struggle, I even knew that that would be the answer. That would be the recipe. At some point in my life, wrestling was going to be a key element.
And you wrestled in the state of Washington.
Oregon,
my bad. Okay, so Pacific Northwest.
Yep.
And you were a decent high school wrestler, right?
I mean, was okay.
You were okay, right? And so you had that foundation, but obviously controlled substances took you away from that.
Absolutely.
So tell me about that journey and what motivated you to go down that path and then come out of that path.
So first you got to understand, why wrestling?
Yeah.
Why wrestling? That's the question we got to ask.
Sure.
And so here I am. I'm not a, I'm a 500 wrestler. Okay. First off, let's put that into perspective.
Okay.
I'm on a high school team with five or six potential D1 athletes around me, okay?
Oh, okay.
So let's picture that first,
sure,
okay?
Sure, yeah.
And so during my period of wrestling in high school, coach treated me the same as all the other athletes. And so as a lower caliber athlete sitting around a bunch of studs, I wouldn't have known any different.
Gotcha.
And so the culture.
Right.
The coaching dynamics, his belief system, what he did to empower a kid like me with not a lot of athletic ability, a 500 athlete, around a bunch of very good athletes.
Sure.
That sense of purpose.
Yeah.
And so that what he created and what he did for me.
Let's name him.
H.D. Waddell.
All right, we love him.
H.D. Waddell.
We love him, yeah.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
What he's done for athletes over the years. So that's my memory.
Okay.
20 years away from the sport. Well, that's what I kept thinking about.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Is that safe
that
place,
that family,
that community.
Sure, yeah, yeah.
And so when I got sober after destroying my life for almost 20 years.
That feeling of being something bigger than something than yourself.
Oh, my gosh, right? Much bigger than self.
Yes, exactly, yeah.
And I knew that that if I could tap into that feeling again, that community, I didn't know I'd go on and do what I've done,
course,
but I knew that I would have a chance for success.
Sure.
It would help me reorganize, refocus, change my life.
Yes.
I knew it would help.
Yes.
As far as a bigger vision, that all came through the process
and
helped us get where we're at. But there I was at a homeless shelter.
Yeah.
Fresh out of prison for the choices that I'd made.
Now, what made you make those choices?
So, first off, you got to know you're dealing with a kid with low self-esteem to begin with.
Okay, okay.
Trying to navigate life as a young adult.
And you wanted that, whatever you thought was going to make you the stud, right?
Yes.
Okay, so
I
think that shiny thing at that young age, I want to chase that shiny thing, right? Right,
yep.
Okay.
Gotcha. That sense of... Maybe that sense of community.
Yeah, gotcha.
That sense of belonging, that sense of being a part of.
Right, right, right.
Well, and obviously it was a negative thing, but my drive was to be in that place again.
But you were considered a feared man in the community when you were in that kind of negative culture.
Absolutely. Right. You're the criminal.
Dude.
You're the convict. You're the drug addict. You're the negative part
and
of
you,
our
and
community.
And you were a badass looking guy, too.
Yeah,
you had the hair with the beard but in your book, you say that you were still so fearful. You were still that little kid trying to be the big guy.
Yes.
Right? So you never did the work. It was just a shield.
It was
just a salve, if you will.
Yep, it was a persona. It was an image. It was a presentation.
Sure.
Deep down, I was still that kid that came from decent family.
Yeah, yeah.
Loving family values. Deep inside, I still came from that good place.
So you had that kernel.
Yeah,
you had
that
kernel
inside
you.
There during that period of time. And I think that's what helped me overcome some of the challenges quicker.
Gotcha.
I got to the other side pretty fast because I think I had that upbringing.
Gotcha.
That good upbringing.
Gotcha.
So
you're in the homeless shelter after these years of going through this really negative culture, right? What transformed you?
Well, so I thought about wrestling a lot over the years, even in a jail cell. I'm doing push-ups, I'm working out. I thought about wrestling many, many times.
Sure.
Never knew I really had a chance for any kind of comeback.
Right, right.
Here I am. you know, 34 years old, getting out of a homeless shelter, rolling cigarettes out of the ashtray. I'm on the streets, guys.
Yeah.
You know, this is as bad as it gets.
You're man of the road, bro.
Yeah, yeah. You know, but here I am. I get sober. I get help through 12-step. I get some counseling. I stay sober, you know, one day at a time, and it stretches out a little.
Do you want to name any of those organizations?
Central City Concern, great.
Beautiful.
Recovery program, mentor program in Portland, and obviously 12-step. You know, there's other men out there that are changed their life, and I could relate to a lot of their stories. And so it helped kind of refocus, helped retrain my way of thinking a little bit.
Okay.
And, you know, over time, you know, as I felt better about myself, as I acquired some clean time, as I started seeing more clearly.
Little victories.
Yes, yes.
Little victories. Yes. And you put that in your back pocket.
I talk about that in my book, I had a vision.
You just build it in the bank. You put that in your bank account.
Boom.
Right?
Yeah. Put it in your pocket. Boom. Yeah, yeah. Little wins. Little wins along the way.
Sure.
That pretty soon started to get to be bigger wins and confidence builders.
Sure.
And then I started shooting for larger goals.
Awesome.
And I think it was about building a foundation and building that confidence, finding myself.
Yeah. Yeah.
Finding myself. Yeah. I was lost for so long, but deep down, I always wanted to be that athlete, that coach, you know, a good man of integrity, a father.
Yeah.
And,
a husband. Right. Right.
Important things in life. And,
And the biggest thing, too, that I see the transition for you, Richard, is you went from self-loathing to self-love.
Oh, yes.
You know? And we have so much self-loathing in our culture
right now.
And we have this arrogance that just permeates our culture. And that, to me, walks in fear.
Yes.
Where confidence, like you exude, walks in love.
Oh, I love that. Thank
right?
you.
Right?
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. So when we talk about that nugget, right, that really kind of sets the stage for your early life to make you reach that 35-year-old man that goes back to college.
Right,
right. So when we come back from the break, I want to talk about that, and I want to talk about this magnificent movement that you are you're the CEO
Appreciate
of, my man.
Yep.
All right?
Thank you.
We'll be back with Richard Jensen. This is Coach Cimarroni for Blood Time after the break. Hey, have you ever wondered how the ultra wealthy grow their real estate portfolio so fast and furious? Have you ever heard of the infinite banking concept? Learn how you can become your own bank and build out your own real estate portfolio like the pros, like the ultra wealthy. Call Ed Knezovich or Ryan Miller at Next Level Continuing Education at 614-648-2440. Learn how to purchase investment real estate without spending a dollar of your own capital through Next Level Continuing Education. 614-648-2440. You know, we love Serve Pro of Beachwood as a sponsor, and Jack Coslin, former All-State wrestler from Beachwood, who wrestled with my producer's father every day, Maverick Peters, Scott Peters, Dr. Scott Peters, on a daily basis. They both made the state tournament, and that quality of making it and all that foundational pieces of making the state tournament has served Jack well. Jack Coslin, the owner of Serve Pro of Beachwood. And you know what he needs now? He needs management help, and the opportunities for working with ServPro and getting a career in ServPro management have never been better. You need to seek out Jack Coslin at serveproofbeachwood.com for these incredible management positions, starting at $70,000 a year, full benefits. That's right, full benefits, absolute opportunity for growth with ServPro of Beachwood. Give Jack Coslin a call. Call Jack Coslin, ServPro of Beachwood, at 216-464-4498 and mention Blood Time and Undeniable with Coach Cimarroni. And we're back with Coach Cimarroni and Richard Jensen, Be a Champion in Life. What a phenomenal first segment. What a real story. And Richard, with that idea of getting sober, of self-love, you decide to go back to college. Tell us about that, and tell us about, you make the national tournament. Amazing story. Not at at a very crispy age of 36 or 37. I can't remember exactly the age, but tell us that mental process you went through and that emotional process.
Well, I had acquired quite a few years clean now. I'd started feeling great about myself.
And you're in shape.
Yeah, I'm in decent shape. I got a good stride.
Yeah.
I thought, you know, for me to go further, for me to stay sober for a long period of time, for me to get where I want to be, and for me to really, really ground myself and find myself,
yes,
I needed wrestling in my life.
Okay.
I just needed wrestling in my life at whatever level, how that looks.
I get
you know, I needed it in my life. I needed that community. I needed that.
I get so many calls on a weekly basis. Coach, I miss wrestling.
Right, right.
I miss wrestling. Yep. I miss wrestling. I miss what we had,
It impacted my life, you know? And so there I was. I was 36 years old. I'm like, okay, Clackamas Community College has a wrestling program.
In Washington, though.
This is Oregon. In Oregon.
Oh, is this Oregon?
In Oregon.
Okay, okay.
We're still in Oregon.
I don't know why. I think I'm in Washington.
Clackamas Community College in Oregon. They have an automotive program.
Nice.
You know, so I went and talked to them about being on their wrestling team.
Okay.
And, you know, honestly, the athletic director said, you know, was trying to let me down easy. He's like, how long have you been away from the sport? You know, and I'm like, well, 20 years, you know. He's like, well, you forget how demanding it is. You forget what it's going to take. And it's hard enough on a 20-year-old.
Big time.
And really, he was trying to let me down easy. But, you know, all I heard.
But what he didn't know is the fortitude you had.
Right, right.
See, the 20-year-old coming in doesn't necessarily have that life experience.
They might walk away. But for me, it was like, well.
I don't have a plan B.
Yeah, this is your plan A. I need this.
Exactly.
It's going to save my life, and I knew it.
I love that.
I mean, it was going to save my life.
I hear
whether I won or lost, it didn't matter.
Right, right.
I needed to be in that wrestling room again. And all I heard was there's a chance.
Sure.
Hey, there's a slim chance.
Okay.
So, you know, with that said, here I was. I showed up for practice, you know. I registered for school.
Right.
And I'm 36.
Yeah.
I'm 10 years older than the 20 years older than the kids.
I get you.
It's a very unique situation.
No doubt,
and, you know, for the first few weeks, it was awkward. And it was like, what is this old guy doing here?
Yeah.
What is he doing here?
Yeah.
And they figured I'd fizzle out in a couple weeks. I'd be, you know, tired, done, gone.
Right.
And, you know, I just kept showing up.
Love it.
Peter, I just kept showing up.
Yeah.
And they beat me up.
Yeah.
No, they beat me up.
I get it, man.
I couldn't walk.
I get it.
I couldn't walk.
I can imagine.
But I kept showing up. Sure. And I told myself that nobody can put me through what I put myself through for 20 years.
Bingo.
Nobody.
Yeah, bingo. I know, man. Take a breath. It's a beautiful thing.
You know, it was a life-changing experience for me, Pete. I needed it so bad that it was the only thing that I needed in my life.
Gotcha.
Whether I won or lost, I didn't need my hand raised. The win was that I showed up every
day.
No
doubt.
My life was getting better. I was staying sober. I was getting an education. I was becoming a better person. I was starting to rebuild that relationship with my kids.
Yes.
Nothing else really mattered. Sure. I needed to show up for practice.
Yep.
And
you became undeniable, my friend.
Undeniable. That's it.
You absolutely.
Kept you just, until they finally.
They could not deny.
Yep.
Your excellence of action and philosophy.
It's one of my big things because there's a lot of stigma out there. There's a lot of stuff.
Sure.
To me, it's like I'm gonna go and I'm gonna go so big and so hard that at some point nobody can deny it.
Exactly. Right.
You know, we can and do recover.
Brilliant.
And we can change our lives.
Brilliant.
So I get my butt handed to me for a year.
Okay. Okay.
For a year, a whole year. I think I won one match.
The respect had to be
one
through the
match.
Roof.
Oh God.
Yeah. I mean, the respect had to be through the roof.
The kids started gravitating over time. Pretty soon, there's a great unit going on. It's a different kind of dynamics. Yeah. I brought life experience into that wrestling room, into these kids' lives.
Of course.
And so, at the end of the day, we put Clackamas Community College back on the map.
Fantastic.
You know?
Yeah.
And I became kind of an extension of the coach's arm in a lot of ways because I had all this other experience that...
player
and,
coach.
Yeah. And I wasn't that athletic. I wasn't that good.
So what?
But life experience helped me through.
You know, our sport, you know, our sport lends itself to that.
Absolutely.
Because you give me a great human being
with
a little bit of talent, he becomes a damn good wrestler.
Right, right. Right.
That's the beauty of our sport.
Yep.
You know, so I want to graduate great humans.
I
because good
I love
good wrestling comes easy.
Yeah, you know what I mean? Good human beings, people moving on to do great things.
Exactly.
Champions in life, you know. Exactly. We're building champions in life.
And, exactly right.
And so I got you know, the first year was a struggle to find a win.
Yeah, but the second year you do something pretty cool. Yeah,
I do. Actually, and at that point, you know, it was good enough to where I probably never had to do anything else.
Sure.
I did it. So I go home and I realize that a lot of the matches were close. I was getting better. I was feeling better about myself.
Sure.
Trying to figure it out. Yeah, I figured it out. There were some assets. I had great strength, hand strength. You know, there was things. Yeah. So I was like, you know what? I'm going to go train for 3 months on the summertime.
Nice.
Nobody knew.
Yeah, yeah.
I went and trained twice a day. I ate right, slept right. I focused. I was getting ready. And so when the second season came around, everybody's fat and out of shape.
And you're
just getting going.
You're a piece of iron,
baby. I'm in the top shape of my life. top conditioning and shape of my life.
Yep.
And all of a sudden I get to practice and they're like, what happened?
Yeah.
I lost 15 pounds. I was ready to go. Yeah. I could, you know, sprint 400, no problem.
You're jacked, man.
So the beginning of last season, I was at the last on all the runs and everything. Yeah. I was last during the Ironman, they call it, the first two weeks.
Yeah.
Puking, I was last. Well, now I'm in the top couple.
That's fantastic.
Through the whole Ironman.
So you're freaking out like, what the heck?
Yeah. What happened? Yeah. So anyway, this is what happened. I came in shape.
Yeah.
We went to a big tournament within the first month, and all of a sudden, I placed in the top three or four. I won like three or four matches that day.
Wow.
And it was more matches than I won the whole year before.
Sure.
And so now I'm really excited. Everybody's excited around me. It's driving inspiration. Like, sure. I'm winning.
Sure.
Now I'm winning.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, and so that set a tone for the rest of the season, the second season.
Yeah.
And because I was excited. Now it shows.
Okay.
Like all that hard work.
Okay.
I'm beating guys.
You're there.
I'm winning.
Yeah, you're there.
You know, and so I went on to win through that whole season. I'd only lost a few matches.
It's fantastic.
And, you know, went on to compete at regionals and ended up in the finals, placing second. And I got to go to the national tournament at 37 years old, the junior college national tournament. And
crazy.
I believe I'm one of the very few that have competed there at that age.
Of course you
know?
You are.
I mean, I have...
Of course you are.
Still looking for the other guy.
Send me your email, brother. Let's talk.
I mean, it was awesome. And you know, I got to win a match at the national tournament. I got knocked out fairly early, but the point is that I made it.
Yes, you did.
And I made it.
You probably wouldn't have done that at 20. Even if you even if you were not involved in a negative situation, you probably
we don't know.
You know what I mean?
But what we do know is
the odds are definitely better here, right?
Well, so the one thing I had was I knew why I was there every day. I knew exactly why I was in that room.
Yeah, it was
so much bigger. So I had a purpose. I had motivation.
It was so much bigger
than wrestling. And so these kids are still trying to figure it out.
Yeah.
Well, I knew exactly why I was there.
Exactly.
And so every day mattered.
Yes.
And there I was 2 years.
And then you take it to the next level.
Yeah,
on a national senior program, right?
Yeah, so then I find out there's a Masters League, you know, and I'm like, are you kidding? I'm not done yet. I mean, really, I was in great shape. You know, I was I was still healthy.
I got it.
And so I went and competed for another 9 years with the Masters.
That's
and,
fantastic.
You know, it was one of the greatest experiences of my life. I got to win a few tournaments. I became a national champion, you know, and which was a huge goal of mine, you know, at whatever level.
Of course.
Just,
of course.
You know, and these guys put themselves through the dedication and what they put themselves through.
Yes.
They're all winners.
Yes.
All of them. Everybody that goes and stands in that circle and competes, like the courage and what they put themselves through.
Right.
You know, I did it for 10 years and I put everything into it, you know.
Yeah.
Looking back on it, I had no idea that I was going to accomplish those things that I accomplished. Like, I was just there to save my life.
And so what kind of glue was that for you with your wife, your children, your family?
Well, you know,
by showing that this is something that I needed to do, but I also have accomplished.
Right. Yeah. It's important, you know?
Sure.
Well, my wife, so she's like, she comes to the first wrestling match.
Yeah.
Who wasn't quite my wife yet, right?
Okay,
she's
right.
She's like, why?
Right.
What are you doing?
It's well, a match.
Right? Yeah. She's like,
the Italian you say, get love this? Are you crazy?
Like, yeah, you love this?
Exactly.
I got a broken pinky. I got a black eye. I'm tore up. That was that first big tournament that second year, you know?
It feels so good, man. It feels so good.
Really? You know, and I explained to her a little more in depth of what it means and why.
Yeah.
And then in time, it's like, oh, I get it.
Yeah, and then she bonded with you, man.
I get it.
She bonded with you,
and she jumped on board, and she's been on this ride.
Team Richard,
she's
man.
She's been so supportive, man.
I love it.
She sees, like, these are the things we're doing and why we're doing it, and she sees, like I'm determined, you know. I'm focused, I'm driven, and it's so important to me, you know. And my kids, like, what they get to look at it like, you know, here's the thing. People throw in the towel after they take a loss.
Of course.
People fold up when they don't reach the mark.
Yeah.
The wind blows wrong and they want to quit.
Yeah.
You know, and so me putting in so much dedication to
fortitude,
it and focus
man.
And fortitude and
absolutely.
Determination, you know, my kids and my family are like, oh my gosh, okay. How do I get to quit now? How do I get to?
And they see the evolution of Richard.
Well, they see.
And the enlightenment.
Right. They and see the accomplishment,
the win,
and it's not about the national tournament. It's about the guy I became.
Yeah.
They see the win. They see this father that shows up every day, this father that's accountable, this father that never misses a mark or an event, this father that's emotionally connected to his kids today, which is by far the number one win of all. Is the relationship with my kids, you know, and that's always kept me driving, you know.
Oh my God!
Well, I mean, I'm not doing drugs anymore. I'm actually felony free. I'm a multi-state 8 felony free guy now.
I'm gonna really
I fought for that.
God bless you, man.
Yeah,
that's awesome.
And that was a mountain of itself. But at the end of the day, you know, the relationship with my kids has been by far the most important win of all.
Sure. So you have done all this healing and all this connection, and now we have this movement, right? So tell us a little bit about what's happening with that, and now we're coming out of the pandemic,
right?
And we're able to get in front of people again.
We've got some movement again.
Finally.
I mean, I was so ESPN did a great documentary on my story. It got some airtime, and kids wrote me letters. That's what began it.
Of course.
I don't know, it's a great story.
Yeah,
kids wrote me letters after a class lesson watching the documentary in class.
Love it.
I could have rode him back. I jumped on a plane, flew out to meet the kids. And it was like a big decision at that time that was bigger than me.
Sure.
And when I got there and spoke to the kids.
You're just the vessel, man.
That's it, you know? And wrestling was the vehicle.
Yes, it was.
And here we are,
It's beautiful,
And so anyway, I started Be a Champion in Life when I got back from New York in 2009. It was shortly after my competitive season, you know.
Yes.
I said, well, I didn't know if I'd just talk to teams or what, but the vision was to talk to more kids, you know, because it's such an important life lesson, you know. It's important, and it's hard to have these discussions with kids.
Your
parents don't know how. And schools, you know, they're not, it's a tough conversation.
Yeah.
So, well, I got life experience, and if I stay genuine, honest, and vulnerable, then it's a win.
Yeah. Right.
Period. So I went on the road with that, and we got up to 2018-19. We were speaking to 30,000-40,000 kids a year around the country, you know. So it was a big couple years for us.
Absolutely.
And literally doing assemblies, public events, leadership conferences, and just sharing my story.
Sure.
The dangers of addiction, poor choices, encouraging leadership, letting them know it's never too late to make a comeback, you know, and we all can go out and succeed and make a decision to change our life at any time.
Yes.
And it's empowering to people out there.
I couldn't agree with you more.
But then the pandemic hit.
Yeah.
I've been shut down for 2 full years.
I know.
So I know. Came out with my autobiography, got it published during that time.
Okay.
I got our tour bus wrapped. Yeah. I built a couple of more organizations on our sponsorship team.
Fantastic.
And I've stayed relevant online,
gotcha.
You know, as much as I can. And finally, we got movement. Like, I just spoke at a middle school in New York, did a couple of assemblies, did a public event that night with the parents, you know, so it's just kind of moving a little bit.
Well, I'm gonna
I've got
tell
a
you.
Handful of things on the forefront and a few graduation prom events too right now.
That's fantastic.
So, you know, we got some movement.
And,
you know,
I'm the president of the Greater Cleveland Wrestling Coaches and Officials Association. And so we had an executive meeting on Thursday, and we have decided to do a weekend event.
Yep.
And you're coming.
Oh, I'll be okay. great. I'm
you're
looking
coming.
Forward to it.
Okay.
Get me
and
out
it's
here.
It's probably
you know?
Going to be in the spring of next year.
Yeah.
Okay. The latest, the fall of next year, but we're going to try to do the spring of next year. And you're going to be one of our top guys.
Oh, that'd be great.
Okay.
I appreciate
so
it.
I guarantee you that. Having said that, where can people reach you, my
yeah,
friend?
Yeah, you know? I mean, you can find me on all the social media platforms, Be a Champion in Life.
Okay.
Our website is beachampioninlife.com, and there is some great content on there if you're intrigued by the story. The book's available on Amazon. I think that
sure.
we all know somebody that can relate to the story.
Absolutely.
We all know somebody that needs to read a good comeback story
no
from
doubt.
The depths of addiction.
Yep.
We all know somebody that struggles out there.
Right.
And it's not just about drugs. It's just about struggles
absolutely.
In life. You need a little story.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
It's a great read. It's
yeah.
a good read for kids. We did
mm-hmm.
that on purpose, you know,
yes.
because we think those kids.
I love the way you write. I really do. I told you that off the air.
You know, I need to thank my wife. I need to give my wife a big shout out.
What's her
you
name?
Know? She, Danae.
Danae.
She's been
we love
a huge
Danae.
Supporter. She's the final
I
part. I mean,
I
it was
it.
Rewrite for like 5 years.
It's okay.
She was the final. So
it's okay.
She gets the shout out.
Okay.
With John Regan, he helped me for the whole time too. John Regan, Danae, and myself. Grinded that book out for 10 years.
That's
you
fantastic.
Know, and we all.
It came out great.
It was important that it checked off, as far as I was considered, high level and perfect.
Sure.
Before we published, and that's
gotcha.
What took the longest. But
gotcha.
I feel like we have a great, great book.
And so you are in Northeast Ohio for the weekend.
Yeah.
What did you do? So,
yeah. Well, I actually just got here last night.
Okay.
I came in last night.
So today's our first thing, right?
Yeah, here it is. Well, Guy Seiko's taking me out on the boat. I mean,
love it.
I got an interview
it.
With Pete with,
I love
with
Coach Cimarroni, baby.
Cimarroni? This is breakfast right
I
now.
Love it.
This is what fires me up.
I love
you
it.
You guys, this
yeah.
fires me up.
Sure,
I get
absolutely.
Excited for this stuff because,
absolutely.
Man, it's a new audience. It's somebody out there needs to hear what we're talking about today.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Whether they're a wrestler or not.
Yeah.
They need
yeah.
to hear it.
Yeah, and our footprint's getting wider.
Yeah,
know,
good.
We're on Salem Broadcasting now.
Excellent.
And Evergreen Broadcasting Network. And this producer over here, Maverick Peters, he's the A-team, baby.
Nice.
So
nice.
We got
good
the
stuff.
A-team. So.
Yeah, so I'm going to go out with Defense Guy. I'm going to head out on the boat for a while, have
awesome.
Dinner with the family, you know,
right,
come down. And then tomorrow, you know, we're going to be on another podcast.
Nice. I love it.
Wrestling
love it.
Philosophy.
Love him. I was on
it's
his
Ohio.
Podcast. He was on mine. Jared
good,
Offer.
Good.
Jared.
Good. Good.
Fantastic
great guy.
Guy.
Yeah.
Great guy.
Yeah.
Great
so
guy.
I'm
going to
meet him tomorrow.
Yeah. Give him my love as well.
I will.
He was on my, we did a home and home.
Okay, good.
We did a
good.
Home and home. And so, you know, we're coming out of this pandemic. Even with the variants, I think we've got ourselves a handle on this mostly if we keep our heads straight. I want you to leave our audience with some words of encouragement and inspiration, if you would.
Yeah, I appreciate that.
Sure.
You know, I mean, you know, it's been a struggle. I think it's affected everybody
sure.
in a lot of different ways.
Yeah.
And it's hard to see the other side of it.
Yeah.
It's hard to reach in and grab hopeful strands sometimes
yeah.
For,
yeah.
for people.
Yeah.
And we got to remember that, you know, the things that are really, really important
yeah.
is our family.
Right.
Is our connection with our community.
Yeah.
And the people directly affected in our life.
Yeah.
You know, I'm healthy. My kids are healthy. There's been a plethora of struggle.
Of course.
But the connection with my wife and my kids, you know, and them
yeah.
being healthy,
yeah.
you know, I got to spend a lot of time with my family during this last 2 years.
So I think
I traveled a lot for years, and I got to spend a lot of time with my family. I value that the last couple of years. It's opened up my eyes a little bit.
So what I'm hearing is stay close.
Stay really close.
Stay close, baby. I love it. Well, Richard, you are an absolute gem.
Thanks.
You're a treasure, my friend. And thank you so much for sharing your story on Blood Time. We really appreciate it.
Thanks, Peter.
All right, man. Well, welcome to Northeast Ohio. Richard Jensen, Be a Champion in Life. This is Coach Cimarroni for Blood Time. Love to all. We are all blood. Men, women, if you want to look great, what are you doing? Why aren't you calling Cimarroni Couture? This is Coach Cimarroni. Call Missy, our CEO. We'll take care of you. 216-496-2000. 2592. Pick up the phone. Get those shirts, sport coats, suits, pants, dresses, whatever you need. Finest fabrics, best tailoring on the planet, and right here locally. We'll come to your home, we'll come to your office, or you can come to us. Whatever's your pleasure. Give Missy a call. Cimarroni Couture. Give Missy a call. 216-496-2592. Cimarroni Couture. See Peter Cimarroni, coach. We are all blood. Love to all.
Hey there, my name is Michael Laminato, and this is Pit Pass F1, a brand new podcast that'll take you closer to the action of the world's most prestigious motorsport. From Monaco to Miami and Australia to Azerbaijan, Pit Pass F1 is on the ground and has you covered. Esteemed F1 journalists Julianne Serasoli and Chris Medland will take you inside the sport every round. They'll keep you up to date with the latest news breaking in Formula One and the most influential views shaping the world of Grand Prix racing. Every Friday, we'll be bringing you a track guide and race preview, and Chris and Drew will be in your feed every morning from Saturday through to Monday to keep you up to date on all the day's action on and off the track. So if you want to be in the know on the latest in Formula One, subscribe wherever you get your favourite podcasts and visit us at evergreenpodcasts.com. Pit Pass F1, a brand new show for Evergreen Podcasts.